Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Not going to get any complaints out of me jumping into it with a little Motley Crue on a Tuesday. This is where we start to search for topics. I ain't got the NBA draft coming up tomorrow. I got the NHL draft coming up on Friday, but this is, I'm watching ESPN right now. They're talking about Aaron Rodgers. He says he's pretty sure 2025 will be his final NFL season. The quote is, yeah, I'm pretty sure this is it. Which, if I'm a Pittsburgh fan, by the way, I don't feel great about that, because I almost feel like now he's telling you he's got one foot out the door. And yeah, I'll take your money for a year and we'll see what happens after that.
Or Hawk, he's telling everybody, hey, I'm going to give you all I have. I will empty out the tank. This is my final season. And I'll leave everything I have on the field.
Aaron Rodgers, essentially final season. We'll do it in Pittsburgh. This is my guess, Crowder. My guess is he is not the starter by the end of the season. I don't know if it's due to injury. I don't know if it's due to annoying Mike Tomlin. I don't know if it's due to play. But I feel like by the end of the season, he is not the Steelers starter.
I don't think annoying Mike Tomlin is an option. Because he's going to handle that behind the scenes. That's why he's such a great coach, because he's a great game day coach and a orator and a speaker. Like, him and Aaron have already had that conversation. If they're not good, he's going to bench him. I think it'd be 100% off football capability. That's it.
But I think they probably have had that conversation, and then it gets towards the end of the season. If he's not good and Aaron Rodgers knows it's his final season, the hell does he care if he's annoying Mike Tomlin? Aaron Rodgers loves to annoy people.
I think he'll cut him. If he really gets into
that would be such a great ending.
Week 13, he gets on Mike Tomlin's nerves. They cut him. They pay out his salary and they move on. I think it was a bad decision of Aaron Rodgers to go to Pittsburgh with Mike Tomlin, because Mike's not dealing with the crap that Robert Saleh and all them dealt with.
So, Lana, what if I gave you the choice? And we know one of the outcomes here, but what if I gave you the choice beforehand? Which would be more important to you? The Heat getting a big whale a la KD. I'm not certain there's any other big whales out there. Doesn't mean someone won't become available when a team underperforms or someone has a schism, but the Heat getting KD or the Panthers retaining Sam Bennett, Aaron Ekblad, Brad Marchand.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're trying to set me up here to sound like a Panthers hater.
The question really is it more important for the Heat success to have a whale, or can the Panthers continue to thrive without any or all of Sam Bennett, Brad Marchand, and Aaron Ekblad?
Yeah, I think the choice is easy. It's the Miami Heat finding a whale. I think so, because the Florida Panthers, those aren't even their best players. Look, Sam, I'm not downplaying how important those guys were, but their best players are Matthew Tkachuk, Sasha Barkov, and Sam Reinhart.
And
Sergei Bobrovsky. Those guys are all tied up. So the Panthers have their core. Everybody else is a bonus. They're ancillary pieces that are extremely important. Again, I'm not downplaying them. The Miami Heat needs somebody. So to me, the choice is easy there. It's the Miami Heat.
Alana, these are your heat-colored glasses. You're going from the wrong direction. I'm going from the direction of these players with the Panthers have now won two Stanley Cups in a row, and they're the best team in hockey in the world, where the Heat are sneaking into the playoffs year after year. So you retain those guys, you have a chance to win the cup. You get KD, that's not anywhere close to having a chance to win a championship.
It's interesting, because there are two directions to look at the conundrum. It doesn't matter. It's not going to affect it either way. They can get both a whale and the Panthers could retain any, all, or none of those players. I guess it's a different way of asking, can the Panthers continue a dynastic run losing three key guys who they may lose? I don't feel like they will. And I'm kind of with Solana. Your core, Matthew Tkachuk and Sasha Barkov, Sergei Bobrovsky for me is always going to be the linchpin. Paul Maurice, obviously. Man, that's how good this team is. You could potentially, again, I don't think they will, you could potentially lose the Conn Smythe winner the season after he wins it and not even miss a beat.
Yeah. But
that's pretty impressive. It's just a testament to the roster that the Panthers and Bill Zito put together.
I was going to say, you have Bob, that's half the battle when you have a Hall of Fame goalie.
It's like having a Hall of Fame quarterback. You put a Hall of Fame quarterback on a team and then fix everything else around him.
Yeah. Brett Favre with the Jets, he's taking the playoffs. He was 117. But like Seth Jones, I've never heard his name before in my life. Then I watch him play hockey and I'm like, damn, Bill Zito went and got him one. There's another Seth. There's not another Brad Marchand out there. I'll be honest with you. There's another Seth Jones. What about Huberdeau? Remember when Hoobie Doo left and we were like, damn, they got rid of Huberdeau. Okay, Tkachuk can play hockey as well. Like, Zito's going to find guys to fill those spots.
Wonder if Steve Goldstein thought, oh, my career is over. No more Hoobie Doobie Doo. There's going to be nothing for me to do during these broadcasts. There was a question for Ira. I've been following and talking and listening to people on my DMs about this whole Kevin Durant thing. I had a long conversation about it last night. I had dinner with Will Manso. Will Manso is going to join us this hour. But one of the things I read in the Ask Ira column in the Sun Sentinel says, Ira, if the Kevin Durant trade had waited until after the NBA Finals, which it should have on the day of Game 7 of the NBA Finals, which was ridiculous, would the Heat have put in more now that Tyrese Halliburton is out for the next season? It's a fair question. If you're in the East and you go, huh, toughest team in the East just lost their best player for the season, does that make the East now even easier? We know it's the easier conference. Even easier now that Halliburton, it would that sway Pat Riley and the brain trust at the Heat if it was one day later and you go, because remember, Jim Larrañaga said, you don't give up a 21-year-old for a 37-year-old unless you think you have championship designs. Well, all of a sudden, if you know Halliburton's going to be out, and then you go, can add KD to Bam and Tyler, and yes, got to hold our nose and give away some young guys who we really like, but we think the East is up for taking. Anyway, this is what Ira Winderman answers. A fair question, but also one with many layers. First, even had Tyrese Halliburton not torn his Achilles and had the Pacers won, I'm still not sure that a fourth-place Indiana team would have been viewed as the best team in the East. Further, as he wrote in his column Monday, I think the Heat should have offered more anyway, including Khalil Ware and or Nikola Jovic. And yes, in an East that next season likely will lack Halliburton, Jason Tatum, and Damian Lillard, even a move as subtle as Durant could have dramatically changed the Heat calculus. As it is, the Knicks still don't have a coach. The Magic have to work in Desmond Bane, and the Cavaliers have to deal with their second-round ouster. So, yes, a single day could have made a significant difference. My thought is that the Heat could have afforded to offer more to get the deal done, but they didn't. And then Halliburton went down.
Yeah, when you say those names, the Halliburtons, Jalen Brunson, the Giannis's, even Jason Tatum's hurting out of Jaylen Brown's. Like, Khalil Ware and Nikola Jovic are going to be in that conversation at some point.
It becomes a little more confounding when you really start to break it down. to a granular level, it becomes more confounding. Like, wait a second, the East seems ripe for a takeover. Some of the key players are hurt. Like Ira said, the Knicks don't even have a head coach right now. You don't know who it's going to end up being. Man, maybe if you pulled the trigger on KD, people look at that team in a depleted East and say, yeah, Bam, Tyler, KD, that's a top four team for sure, and maybe more.
And I somewhat, Solana, I'll let you go in a second, but I somewhat, because I'm going to call you out, where you were like, Kalel was up for Rookie of the Year 14 weeks into the season, but he didn't win it. Like, is he going to – the potential. You saw the ceiling and all that stuff. We're waiting for ceilings, or are we trying to win games? Because I personally – I don't know if you've seen us out of Jovic. I haven't seen nothing out of Jovic to think that he's going to be a piece of a championship team. He's an
I will tell you, though, someone was saying that in Dallas about Jalen Brunson at some point. I've seen enough. I know who he is.
And are we – To ask that question, Nikola Jovic is going to be Jalen Brunson at some point.
But nobody knew Jalen Brunson was going to be Jalen Brunson, is my point.
And Spo's holding them all back.
But here, and look, I'm of the belief that he should have offered more. I agree with Ira Winterman. I wanted Kevin Durant here, but I think all three of us were kind of like, does that put you in the conversation? Does it change Riley's opinion or whoever, Nick Arison, Andy Ellisberg, knowing Haliburton went down? Maybe. But I thought Zach Lowe nailed it on his podcast today, where he said Pat Riley showed restraint. He almost had like a look in the mirror moment, where Pat Riley a decade ago, maybe even 3 years ago, would have said, bleep it, I am getting Kevin Durant no matter what. Like, that's what he does, right? He goes after the whales. And he had the wherewithal to say, look at the two teams in the NBA Finals. Are they there because of individual brilliance? Maybe SGA with OKC. But really, they're deep teams. Like the Indiana Pacers, Crowder, to your point, is Nikola Jovic going to be Jalen Brunson? No, but can he be Benedict Mathurin? Can he be Andrew Nembhard? Like those guys, Aaron Nesmith, those guys are important to the types of runs that we just saw from the Thunder and the Pacers. So the Heat are sitting there saying, Kevin Durant at 38 years old, who we're going to give a lucrative extension to, can he withstand the course of an 82-game regular season and then go through the grind of a postseason along with Tyler Hero, who has a lot of similar concerns of staying healthy, and then you got rid of all your young guys to go get him. Is that a successful
It's a different
formula?
Approach, though. It's a different approach. Heat fans are used to the approach, you go get a big dog, and they lead the team. That was the Jimmy Butler idea.
Right.
So it's a different approach. I understand what you're saying. It's just a different approach from the Heat.
It is.
The only thing that I would object to what you said there, because we all were lukewarm on KD. I still am. But I thought the conversation was KD or Tyler. And this has become different to me, because now I found out we're not getting KD because of Nikola Jovic and Kalel Ware. And that's where it changes a little bit.
But it's your two best young assets.
I get it.
The two best young assets. And I'm not telling you that this is the right decision. I don't know. But you know what? The more I think about it, and Zach Lowe really swayed me, man. Like, I really had a come-to moment. I'm looking at this Thunder team. I'm looking at this Pacers team. Look, I don't know what Kalel Ware and Nikola Jovic are going to be, but if you want to be good, you need guys that are young, who are on rookie-scale deals, to exceed. You need them to excel. You need to be able to develop those types of players in the modern NBA. This isn't 8-10 years ago where you can put together three great players. The cap doesn't allow you to do that anymore. It just doesn't. You need those guys. And the Heat are saying, hey, we want to remain flexible and we want to keep our guys. We drafted them and we think they're going to be good.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
But you talk about 8 and 10 years ago. No, this year, the best player in the world won the championship. When the Nuggets were winning it, the MVP was winning the championship. It's easier to get a star and win a championship than put together a damn Nembhard and a Nesmith and a Hugo Barbera, whatever the hell that boy's name is, and a Halliburton than it is to go get a monster and let him lead your team to success. Shaq and Wade, championship. The big three, championship. So the Hawks point almost, I've understood, get some damn stars, win the championship. Don't try to throw together a Nesmith and a damn Nembhard and see what happens.
And it's kind of like and the NFL where you go, could you win a Super Bowl without an elite quarterback? Well, yes, you can. But it is few and far between.
Yeah.
Everything has to go right on the other end.
I have the names. His name is Terry Bradshaw. Trent Dilfer.
Brad Johnson.
Those are the ones that were terrible, but their team was so damn good around them that they could play. It's hard to build a 2002, Buccaneer defense, 2000 Raven defense, 70s Pittsburgh. It's hard to build that. It's easy to get a damn good quarterback and go win Super Bowls with lesser talent.
Right, but do the Steelers give up draft capital and young players who help them to go get Aaron Rodgers? Like that's the equivalent. Kevin Durant and Aaron Rodgers.
I think Kevin Durant has more.
Maybe fruitful
years left than Aaron Rodgers does.
Maybe, but you get my analogy there. Like you're talking about giving up guys who can help you win and could perhaps be the reason why you win. Maybe for somebody who can help you win, but probably not win at all unless you have those ancillary pieces. So it's just backwards. I'm happy that he didn't get Kevin Durant. Honestly, like
I'm not disappointed. I'm more confounded by the reasons that they didn't get him. If you, again, said to me in a vacuum with no context, next season you add KD to this team, do you think they're a championship team? My answer was no. But if you give me context and say, well, what if I give you KD, but you got to give up Khalil Ware and Nikola Jokic? That I probably would have done.
And draft picks, Hawk. I don't know. I think it would have had to have ended up being more. I really do. I think
anyway, let's do headlines because I want to talk with Will Manso about this. He's got some opinions on it. Headlines with Solana, brought to you by Dorel Hyundai. Choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory, like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. And remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Dorel Hyundai.
It is absolutely unacceptable that we are 20 minutes into the show today and have not mentioned Luisito Suarez and Inter Miami because they put on a show last night at Hard Rock Stadium in front of a sold-out crowd.
Yeah. That place was lit, and it was almost a disaster at the end.
Wide open.
Suarez looked like vintage Suarez, and Inter Miami, they blew a 2-0 lead. They would have finished top of the group, Group A, and they would have played Botafogo. Instead, they're going to play Champions League winners, Paris Saint-Germain. No,
6-1, half a dozen to another. Did the team they were playing, I forget what the name was.
Palmeiras.
Did they need that draw or that win?
What ended
we were,
up...
We were at the casino last night. The sound was off. And so I didn't know because they're up 2-0. And that Palmeiras team is fighting like crazy. And so my thought was they have to get at least a draw to advance. But I don't even know if they advanced.
Yeah, they did. They did. They finished top of the group. And so here's what happened. The other game was drunk. The other game, Al Ahly and Porto, was drunk. The only way Palmeiras would have not advanced would have been if Porto had won and Palmeiras lost. So Porto and Palmeiras would have finished with the same amount of points. Porto needed to win by a number of goals. This turns into goal differential. So there was a possibility of them not advancing. And in the other game, it was absolutely drunk. It finished 4-4. 8 goals were scored. So they just had to make sure we get a draw. We go through both teams. And then at the end, even Inter Miami has to be careful because if Palmeiras takes a lead and Al Ahly scores 2 more goals, like all of a sudden,
screwed. Yeah.
You're screwed. Right. So both teams sitting on a point we're going to advance.
I don't understand.
And here's something else that, you know, is very important to me personally. The Lamb gang can rest easy again in South Florida. Kendall Lamb has posted a Instagram story yesterday because here's what happened. A quote went viral across social media, Dolphins Twitter, Dolphins social media, about Kendall Lamb basically throwing the team under the bus, questioning their culture. He praised the Philadelphia Eagles culture compared to the Dolphins culture. And then he posted an Instagram story saying yesterday, bro, I love Miami. I don't remember ever giving a quote about negatively about Miami. So it appears that that quote was just fabricated from some bogus website. And a bunch of people ran with that quote, by the way, without actually checking it.
So Kendall Lamb's no longer on the Dolphins?
No, he's an Eagle. But if Palmeiras scores two more goals, he'll come back to the Dolphins.
That would actually be something fun to add to, like, to the NBA and the NFL. You want to make regular season games more interesting in the NBA? If, I don't know, if your team loses by more than 20 points, the opposing, all the players, you know, bottom 8 through 15 go into a hat, and the team with the worst record in your conference gets that player. If you lose a game by 40 or more, the top, you know, the four players on down, the name goes in the hat. It's a random drawing. And so you get your ass kicked, regular season, meaningless game. All of a sudden, somebody just took Haywood Highsmith because they drew his name out of a hat.
How are we going to deal with the aprons? That's what Solana's thinking. I don't know what's going on.
No, but the old team still has to pay them, and they're under that salary cap.
And then in the NBA yesterday, Drew Holiday finally gets his reunion with the Portland Trailblazers. He was a part of that Damian Lillard trade. What happened over there?
My armrest just broke off.
Where, on your chair?
Yeah.
You have a walker? Is that a walker? Oh, my God. Oh, the mighty have fallen.
This is crazy. Hey, John.
Is that the chair, though, that you've had for 1,000 years?
It's matured.
Isn't that like the chair? It's like all ripped up and scuffed up and like the leather's breaking off in pieces.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was leather. I think it's pleather, though.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not leather.
Oh, okay.
I've got an extra office chair if you want it, Crowder.
Hey, put it in the garage sale.
What do you need, like a folding chair? You know, a folding chair?
I need a chair with the height adjustment on it, though.
Yeah.
That's why I hate it, yeah.
I have one. I have a like an old gaming chair. Not old. I barely used it. I bought it. I thought it looked dorky, so I never used it. You want it? $50.
You just gamer. Said a gaming chair?
Yeah, a gaming chair. Yeah,
gamer.
Yeah. Follow me on Twitch.
What's a gaming? What does it consist of? A gaming chair.
Little Soul on the Beat 69. That's my Twitch handle. Follow me on Twitch.
Jimmy, do you have a gaming chair? I know you do a lot of gaming.
I do not have a gaming chair.
You wish you had a gaming chair?
No, I don't.
All right, because I was going to start a GoFundMe.
Who do y'all?
Our listeners would come together and get you a gaming chair. Oh, you missed out.
Y'all live 30s and 40s, right? You have gaming chairs?
I don't think Jimmy does a lot of gaming, by the way. I think he lies about that. I don't think Jimmy ever actually bought himself a PlayStation, by the way. Like, I swear, I'm onto this. I'm onto this conspiracy theory. Yeah.
I think he just says what he thinks we want to hear.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's false because I do have a PS5.
Okay. Do you consider yourself a gamer?
Not like before when I was younger.
Gotcha. What'd you play last night?
What's your favorite game right now?
The college football game.
Everybody's raving about that.
Yeah. Not really. Everybody stopped playing it because NCAA 2026 is coming out, which, by the way,
can't wait to get
pretty
that.
Pretty big news. The Pop-Tarts Bowl mascot will be featured in EA College Football 26.
I saw that. Yeah, I may have to get a gaming system. and do this. What is this, like Nintendo?
Yeah, Nintendo.
Oh, please stop playing games. That would take
I'll get one of these because everyone, I want to see the Pop-Tart guy in the football game. So what do you get? You get a Nintendo?
Yeah, I would.
What office are you going to run?
What do they got? Q-Bert? They got Q-Bert and Frogger?
I think that's Intellivision.
They have Tetris on your gaming system, Jimmy?
On my Switch, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. We got a PS5 at the house. LeChan plays the game when they kill people and drive cars fast.
Yeah.
Ah, I had that. Frogger. Then you got to hop on the log, right? You don't want to be on the log with the alligator.
You got a Frogger that killed somebody?
Yeah, you had to cross the street if you got run over by a car.
Oh, yeah, this one, the guys have tattoos and they rob drug dealers, and it's weird.
Yeah, yeah, the frog. What do you think? I don't know.
This Mario Brothers has changed. They got guns.
Captain Mario lost his mind.
Luigi's on drugs. What?
Your weather from your Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7.
Anyway, hit me up on Twitch. Avocado Toast, Aperol Spritz, 124.
Oh, he's a gamer. What are old men with gaming chairs? Man, y'all are ridiculous.
It's comfortable. It's got a nice little headrest for you. It's comfortable.
The guy whose arms just fell off his chair. I mean, listen to the guy who's criticizing you.
Listen, now you got to get a SEP IRA. I'm worried about SEP IRA. I'm going to run a damn
you worry about fixing your chair? Why don't you take some of the money you're putting away for later and buy a chair that has arms on it?
Oh, when I'm 59 and a half, Hawk, I'm going to be balling. Untaxed for 20 years. What?
Partly cloudy, 90 degrees. That is your weather.
All right, Will Manso is going to join us in the next segment.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
Cooper Flag is white.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Our friend Will Manso is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He is a sports anchor and reporter here at Local 10 in Miami. He was out at the parade on Sunday. I had dinner with Will last night, some other friends. I'm still feeling a little sluggish this many hours later. It was not my typical evening of eating. Have you recovered from last night's dinner, Will?
Well, I just left my gastroenterologist because I'm getting a colonoscopy. So everything's going to be okay. So I feel
need to
a little
be cleaned out after last night. Yeah.
Who ordered the appetizers?
Was that you? Or who was the appetizer person? I just saw a million things come out.
Yeah, that was Andy Slater said that we need bacon, and the bacon comes hanging on a rack, and the grease drips off the bacon into a waiting cornbread. So you've got the bacon and then you've got the cornbread, which has sopped up all the bacon grease. And it was phenomenal. And let me tell you something. Pair that with an Aperol Spritz. I am telling you are
that and a Yoo-Hoo ice cream. And Hawk topped it off
a Yoo-Hoo ice float. Cream. They brought me a Yoo-Hoo float at the end of the meal. Yeah, I did things to my body last night that should only be done on OnlyFans. They're just not
OnlyFans. Oh.
Anywho, let's talk. Well, first of all, how about Sunday's Panthers parade? I don't want to rehash it, but it felt great, right? That was a great, worthy celebration.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, what did Kachuk say when he got up there? I could get used to this, and we all can. I mean, just the feeling of euphoria that you feel in parade, you know, because you go to a game, you're nervous. You're at an event, you're nervous. There's always the anticipation. You go to a parade, you're just partying for the entire time you're there. You're dancing, you're singing, you're drinking. I mean, everybody's having a great time. It's a scene unlike any other in sports because there's no finish line. I mean, that's it. You won. You're celebrating it. So it was cool to experience it again.
Yeah, just a fun team to root for. All right, let's talk Heat here and Kevin Durant. Did the Heat get too cutesy in not offering enough for Kevin Durant? Or did they, we've talked about it, did they do the right prudent thing?
You know where I stand on this, Hawk, and I think we talked about it on the show, and we certainly talked about it last night over dinner, is that I felt that Kevin Durant was the pivot. I felt that he was the direction to go with the assets that you had because, in general, the assets the Heat have, it's pretty clear, probably won't get you an in-your-prime 26-year-old superstar, which, by the way, those don't grow on trees. Trees, it's not like they're always available. But I thought that was the pivot. But I will say this. Even thinking that, I can respect that the Heat had a situation where they said, this is what we'll give up. We won't give up anymore. And they stood to it because at the same time, if they truly don't feel that's the path and the pivot, then they shouldn't just give up whatever it takes to do it. They should, you know, have a limit. So in that sense, I respect what the Heat did. While I don't agree with it, like why I think that you could have given up more or offered more, I should say, I understand that there probably was a limit in what they felt for a 37-year-old Kevin Durant to team with Bam and Tyler and try to really improve this team in the Eastern Conference.
And Will, we've actually talked about this in the past as well. Is it flat out a no whale approach? Because I don't think there's any other whales out there. We know the memes, Riley whale hunting. I think he needs to put his boat back into the marina. Are we a part of the no whale approach right now? And what does that look like?
And that's the problem, Jennings. That's why I was so in on KD, because while KD at 37 isn't the whale he was when the Heat were chasing him 6-7 years ago in his early 30s or late 20s, he still, to me, is a difference maker, right? A person who truly moves the needle. I don't know if that's out there now. So the problem you get stuck in is literally just getting stuck. Right now, the Heat are in one of the toughest spots. They're in the middle ground. I don't think the Heat are bad. I mean, they made the playoffs last year. They found a way. They obviously play hard for Spo. They have two all-star players in Bam and Tyler. Andrew Wiggins is a former all-star. I mean, they have good players. They have a team that can play. But do they have a team that can compete is the question for a championship. And I think we know the answer is no. And they also don't have one of the worst teams in the league, right? So when you get caught in that middle ground, it's like, where do you pivot and who is available? And I think the answer right now is whoever that next person is, right, that could lead them to truly be a contender certainly doesn't appear to be available right now, which leaves them in this middle ground of uncertainty of where the offseason goes and how do you really improve, or are you really going to be the same team, you know, middling and kind of fighting your way for a play-in playoff spot into next season?
Will, and look, I mean, I want a KD as well. I agree with you. I thought that was the right approach and the right pivot. But okay, they didn't do that. There's a lot of Heat fans who believe that the correct approach, if you weren't willing to give up your young assets and your young players and your future picks to go perhaps become a contender, or at the very least get closer, that the right move then is to do a total rebuild. We know that Pat Riley and the Miami Heat don't believe in quote-unquote tanking, even though he sort of admitted that they did it a couple times in the past at his press conference. But is there any truth to what a lot of Heat fans feel is the right approach, which is right now would be the perfect time, again, not to tank, but to kind of trade everybody, maybe except for Bam, and get some draft picks and do the rebuild that way?
Yeah, like a hard rebuild, not a soft rebuild. Like a just go all in rebuild. And, you know, you're not going to call it a tank, but you're going to strip the pieces down and get as many picks. I get it. You said it's a lot of the Heat don't do that. And I'll be honest with you, and this isn't just because the Heat don't do it. I've never been a big fan of that in the NBA. It's so hard to get right. The problem is, you know, recency bias. We look and see the Oklahoma City Thunder win a championship, and it appears to be building a dynasty. So we all think, hey, do what they did. That's cool. But you lose of the facts of the last decade or so when they were terrible and you had to deal with the awfulness and the hope. And we also, the flip side is, look, not too long ago, we were talking about the process and the Sixers and what they did and how that turned out. So that's why I hate it, number one. But let's look at it from a practical Heat perspective. Your team president's 80 years old. He's got a window of a few years left. He is also probably the most successful executive in the history of the league. You know, certainly one of them, right? One of kind of one hand, the people that have had success Pat Riley has had in the NBA. He's not going at the end of his career with the trust he has in his staff and Adam Simon and Andy Ellisberg and obviously Eric Spoelstra. He's not just going to say, hey, let's suck for 2, 3, 4, 5 years until we get a champion again. It's just not going to happen. So for me to entertain that, and for fans too, it's silly because it's just not going to happen.
So who are some hypothetical targets that Heat fans can expect to be in the mix, I guess?
Yeah, you keep hearing the same names, right? Do they pivot to a DeMar DeRozan, which seems like a kind of a lateral move, a very solid pro, a guy who's been a great player in the league a long time, but aging. You know, he's not the player he was. Do you get involved if Jonathan Kuminga becomes involved? You know, do you get in those? Is there another younger player out there that maybe a team is – and that's probably more the path, right? A younger player that hasn't fit in and that maybe needs a second opportunity. The Heat are great at that. I think the Heat wave is probably that way, right? If they can't – because you read all these reports, and look, it's way too premature to talk about Luka and setting up cap space. But there was a report yesterday about the Heat, you know, getting enough space to potentially make a run at something like that. Those are things that are so much of a hypothetical, and it takes so many things to happen that it's hard to really think about that now. But the Heat, again, you notice the one thing we're not getting right is answers. We don't, there are no easy answers now to make this team a contender again. I was in the school of thought, I just wanted to see the Heat be entertaining and exciting again. Well, you know, post-Jimmy, that Jimmy era was so much fun with Bam and Tyler and all the guys that came through. How do you make this team fun again, exciting again, for the base to say, hey, things are going to move forward? Right now, you're in that middle where there isn't that excitement because you're just not sure what's next.
And Will, can you, because to the even the Indiana Pacers, you know, thought process of the Neesmiths and the Nimhards and all of that, where you see those young guys, nobody knew their name. I didn't know their names until the playoffs start. Actually, the Eastern Conference Finals, I didn't know who ahead of Neesmith was. But, like, Spo to change his thought process, well, a Khalil Ware and a Nikola Jovic, like, can he make those guys household names with just playing them? Because Khalil Ware was playing, and then he didn't play, and then he went back to playing. Like, would they have to adjust their thought process in rotation and coaching if they do have to go with this? You know, I know run it back is a overused phrase, but the run it back, you know, mentality.
Yeah, I think so. And I think Spo knows that. Look, I think Pat alluded to it. I mean, I think as a coach and coaches, right, and his front office, you have to evolve at the times. And Spo, I think, is the best coach in the NBA. And he has shown it through the years, his ability to get the best out of guys. But it doesn't mean he's perfect. Doesn't mean there's not room for him to find different ways. And your job as a coach is to take a roster and make it the best it can be. And last year, I don't think that happened with Spo. And that's okay. That's a fair criticism. And I think if Spo was here right now, or Spo was, you asked him at a press conference, he would say, look, yeah, I have to be better. There are things that, as my job, is to get the best of players. I think part to your point, Channing, is that's what they need to do. They need to, like, are you going to play Khalil? Is he going to be that guy? You know, you're saying you're not going to trade him. Nico as well. You saw Spo throw him into some big moments in that Cleveland series. We forget because the Cleveland series was terrible. But in the couple of close games or close moments, Nico had a nice run. Like, okay, are you going to give him that opportunity to play 25, 30 minutes a night next year, 32 minutes a night? That's the next step. Because if you don't pivot to a proven player, right, if you can't get – they didn't get KD. If you can't get somebody else, play the kids. Play the kids and see what you got. Worst case, they don't develop. Best case, they do, and your assets grow in value. And obviously, you're more competitive. So, yeah, I think that's part of what Spo needs to do next and his staff needs to do next is get the most out of this group. If this is the group you're keeping, they got to move forward. Last year, a lot of those guys took steps back.
Hey, Will, I'm asking you a ridiculous question here, but as we sit on June 24th, who's the best team in the Eastern Conference next season? Because I mean, Indy would have been an easy choice, but I mean, yeah. Halliburton, when is he going to be back? We don't know. Will he be back? Tatum, will he be back? We don't know. I mean, are we in a world right now where the Orlando Magic, who just traded 4 first-round picks to Desmond Bane, are going to be the favorites in the East?
I think Cleveland or Orlando. I think Cleveland or Orlando, and by the way, Detroit. Detroit doesn't get talked about enough. That's a team that I think is on the rise. They have a lot of nice young players, and Cade Cunningham, as long as he stays healthy, he's a superstar. So, I think Cleveland, Orlando, and Detroit are the teams I really like at least for next season, given what you just said, because of the injuries to Tatum and Halliburton and, you know, other teams that are going through this flux. You know, who knows what's going to happen with the Hawks. Obviously, the Heat are caught in that middle. What's going to happen with them? Milwaukee and the pivot, you know, with Giannis, and, you know, you've lost so much around him, and what's next there. So, yeah, I think those teams, as crazy as it sounds, are the teams that at least at this point appear to be in the best position in the East next year.
Will Manso from Local 10. I almost got sentelled. Saw a tweet says Kevin Durant is unhappy with the current situation in Houston, demanding a trade.
Oh boy. Oh man. That's why I stay
That's
up
why I'm here. Not it's really I'm not that upset that he's not here, because I do think headaches follow him. I'm not I don't know. I know
you're not a fan. It's big of a fan. I'm a huge KD fan. I think he would have fit in perfectly, because I don't think they needed him to be a leader. Just go out and score 25 and that's it. That's what they need.
I feel bummed. There's certain times where someone's name is being bandied about, and then I'm bummed that he doesn't end up here, whether it's the Heat or the Marlins, the Panthers, whoever, Dolphins. But I don't know. Kevin Durant has not been that guy for me for a couple of seasons now. So it doesn't, I'm not feeling, I think a lot of Heat Nation, I'm probably the outlier on this. I think a lot of Heat Nation is very bummed that he didn't end up here.
Yeah, but I think that's part of, just because of the conversation we just had. I think fans they want to see the needle move in one direction.
Glitz and glamour, baby.
Yeah, it's either glitz and glamour or rebuild. But the middle is kind of like, oh, man, how do you get excited? And that's what the Heat have to figure out. Tomorrow the draft, we'll see what they do, and then rest of the offseason.
But Will, nobody was excited. Nobody was excited about the Heat kind of staying in the middle after Dwayne Wade left to Chicago, and it resulted in Jimmy Butler and then the third best run in franchise history. So
it takes one pivot, one move like that, and it's a hard move to get a Jimmy Butler type player. But that's all it takes. You can do something like that again. Everything's back to normal, and then everybody's excited.
But is it a personality versus a talent thing? Because I've played with guys that I really couldn't stand to talk to, but I knew they were good at their job. You think that's kind of where KD stands with some fans?
I think so. I think, you know,
he's
people are always
playoffs.
He's one of the great players of all time. He's one of the elite scorers. He still averages 25, 26 games. He's just, you know what it is? He's not that leader type that's going to come in and rah, rah, follow me. But the Heat don't need that. Like last year, the missing pieces wasn't like they need more leadership. They had more than enough leadership. They need more scoring. I mean, the Heat offense needs to join this era of NBA basketball. And again, it takes a scorer like that to kind of push you and nudge you that way. And by the way, we talked about Spo and adjustments. That's another thing he's doing this offseason. He's got to figure out a way to get more out of the offense. The Heat right now, the last 5 years, has been a bottom third of the league offense. And in this NBA, we saw what Indiana could do when they get cooking. We saw what OKC could do as well on top of the defense that they play. If the Heat can get middle of the pack offense with the defense they normally play, they're a competitive team that can you know, be one of the better teams at least to compete. But when they can't score, we see what you get in that Cleveland series.
Will Manso, you're going on vacation, a little summer break?
Yeah, well, it takes 4 days to clean out the dinner from last night, and then the keys in Europe after that. So I'll be ready to go.
All right. Well, safe travels wherever you're headed to, and we'll speak with you at some point again this summer. See you,
All
Will.
Right, guys. You got it, guys.
There you go. Will Manso from Local 10. Always enjoy speaking with him. We have a lot to get to today. We'll get you caught up on the headlines and some breaking news that's coming our way as well. So we'll get you caught up in the 3 o'clock hour. Do not go anywhere.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
Could offer me any money for limits? for my dog. I love my dog.
I got $100,000 cash.
Take them.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.